Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall. He was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We were talking about some advice given to the sincere, the ones who are walking in truth. And number four of that series is Beware of Presumptuous Sins. These wound a man's uprightness deeply because they are the most inconsistent with it. Psalm 19:13 says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright." David's single presumptuous sin stands as the only exception to the general testimony which God gave to his uprightness, where it says David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. The other sins which David committed were all discounted because they did not cause such a scar on his uprightness as this one did. Just as a single presumptuous sin is inconsistent with uprightness, so habitual uprightness is not consistent with habitual presumption. If one sip of this poison seriously infects the spirit of a gracious person, how deadly must it be to all uprightness if the Christian drinks from it every day? As Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, we must daily put ourselves under holy bond not to defile ourselves with presumptuous sin. Augustine declared, "I may err, but I am resolved not to be a heretic. I may have failings, but by the grace of God I will labor that I be not a presumptuous sinner." If you do not want to be a presumptuous sinner, stop making light of sins that seem less serious than others. For example, when David's conscience rebuked him for tearing Saul's skirt, he stopped what he was doing and withdrew. David's tender heart reproached him for cutting the garment and thus would not let him cut the king's throat and take his life. But at another time, David's conscience was too dull to warn him of danger, and he sent a lustful glance to stay with Bathsheba. Like a dizzy mountain climber about to faint, he was sent tumbling from one jagged sin to another until finally he fell into the deep pit of murder. When the river is frozen, a man ventures to walk and run where he would not dare set his foot if the ice were melted or broken. And when a godly man's heart is so hardened that he can stand on an infirmity, even a tiny one, and his conscience does not crack under him, who knows how far into sin he will go? Number five, get above the love and fear of the world. A Christian's sincerity is not eclipsed without the intervening of the earth between God and his soul. Get above the love of the world. This is a stubborn root for hypocrisy to grow on. If your heart becomes attached to something in the world and chooses it above everything else, you will be sick with longing for it and vulnerable to take the first advice Satan offers for getting what you want most. Hunters do not care how they get in, over hedges and ditches and through marshes, just so long as they catch the rabbit. It is a mystery how a saint, with the precious ointment of Christ poured upon his heart, could still have such a strong scent after the world. It would seem that the sweet perfume which comes from those beds of spices, God's promises, would spoil the Christian's desire for hunting earthly game. The breath from Christ in them should so fill the saint's senses that gross earthly enjoyments would no longer be pleasing to him. This is true as long as the Christian's spiritual senses are open, but as a head cold stops up the nose from doing its job, so a Christian's negligence obstructs his heavenly graces. And when the saint cannot enjoy Christ's divine savor, the devil takes advantage and immediately sets some worldly attraction before him. Soon the flesh picks up the scent and takes the Christian into a chase which dead ends in sorrow and shame. And then get above the fear of the world. Fear of man brings a snare. A coward will run into any hole, no matter how filthy, to save himself. And when the holiest saints are tempted, they are like all other men. When Peter's reputation seemed to be in a little danger, he did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, Galatians 2:14. Instead, he took one step forward and another back again. Sometimes he was willing to eat with Gentiles, but at other times he was not. Why? Because he feared them which were of the circumcision, Galatians 2:12. And number six, keep your heart with strict self-discipline. The man who rides a stumbling horse must keep his eye on the path and his hand on the bridle. This is your heart, Christian. It can stumble on the smoothest level ground when you cannot see a problem for miles ahead. Therefore, keep a strict rein on it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. Bring your heart into full view every day so it can give an account of itself. The master indirectly encourages his servant to steal if he does not ask him now and then about the money in his pocket. Some men in King Jehoiada's day were entrusted with the money for the repair of the temple. They were not required to account for it because it was known that they dealt faithfully, 2 Kings 12:15. But it is not best for you to do it this way. Rather, give account of your heart to God and to your conscience every day, so Satan's subtle temptations will not embezzle God's investments in you. God has put many talents into your hands for the repair of your spiritual temple, health, freedom, days of rest and worship, ordinances, fellowship, the work of grace in you. Find out how you are spending each one, and you can see how God's kingdom work is moving forward. It is best for you to do this every day, because, make no mistake, sooner or later God will have an account of your heart. Well, we're going to leave it there because of the way this book is divided up into sections. I don't want to start a new section, and the next section is very long, so I don't want to divide it all up. We'll just let it go at that today. Thank you so much for being here. Remember that I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email, would you? bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com if you have a question or a comment. And then look around the site. I do believe you'll find some things that will be helpful to you. Readings from great preachers, stories about the persecuted church, Bible studies, a lot more. And now we have audios twice daily, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., Chicago time. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.